老罩罩
大业
By my side is an artist named Christine Patterson. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Welcome to our program.
Okay.
So actually, how I meet Christine is that in about a month ago,
yeah.
In an event called Us South Island Art Night.
That's right.
So on that day, it's an open night events that many gallery in Wong Chuk Hang will open up their studio and let our outsider to visit.
Yeah.
And Christine is one of the participants, and so I met her there. So
sure.
I see her work, and then tonight I interview her to come here to introduce herself and her work and her life as an artist in Hong Kong. So it's very nice to meet you here. So maybe Christine, you can introduce more about yourselves and some of your work.
Okay.
To our audience.
Okay, thanks John. I'm originally from Scotland. I had a very rural childhood in Scotland, very outdoorsy rural childhood in Scotland. I studied at the Glasgow School of Art, did sculpture
where
there.
In Scotland, in Edinburgh or Glasgow?
Nearer Glasgow,
Glasgow.
Yeah, the southwest coast, Ayrshire it's called. Yeah, so I did sculpture at Glasgow School of Art and moved from there to London and did a master's in London, but in a school of architecture in East London. And that was, my sculpture at the art school in Glasgow was quite architecturally focused. I was making big plaster casts of walls and skirting boards and things like that, but I was making them myself in clay and writing into them and stuff, and then taking plaster casts over them and showing the casts as the work. So it kind of made a bit of sense for me to try and to study in an architectural context, so that I was making work about architecture. So it was going to make that my practice more informed and more precise and broaden it a bit.
But I don't know much about architecture, but actually what you study is that how to build a building or just a architecture with some art context.
Yes, it was art and architecture. It was the title of the course. So the tutors were architects, and a lot of the students were architects too. But the projects we did were architecture, so you'd be given a brief and you had to come up with a solution to, an architectural solution to it. But then we also did a fair bit of public art too, where you're sort of looking at public art and how that's going to work, and also how an artist and an architect could collaborate together on projects. So you could find your own way through that course, but I was always fairly kind of sure that I was still going to be making sculpture, and it was sculpture I always wanted to make, but it just had to be more. I just wanted it to be more informed about architecture. I wanted to understand it a bit more, so that I could then respond with sculpture. Where did I go from there? Yeah, Australia after that, I guess, really.
Do you have any exhibition after you graduate in Scotland, or you go direct to I think in your profile you have many exhibition in Australia.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
No,
so you start your art career in Australia, maybe?
Yes, in the UK after my master's, I was doing a lot of teaching. I taught in a boarding school for a couple of years, and I did 1 year of teaching in a university on a visual communication course, doing the practical side of visual communication. And to be honest, it was my move to Australia, and the liberation of that, because you're away from the close-knit community that you grew up in, and I took a waitressing job, that meant I could focus on my sculpture, because I found when I was teaching, it would just it would take over a bit. I didn't have the headspace to make work, and being in Australia allowed me to do that. It was quite liberating in that way, even though I wasn't not allowed, but you felt a certain pressure to do something, to have a proper job, rather than doing casual waitressing jobs. But it really, allowed me to focus on getting a body of work together, which allowed me to to present my work to gallerists, a gallery who took me up. It was a very, it's still the same gallery I'm with now, in Sydney, called Martin Brown Contemporary. And it just happened quite quickly after that, you know, after he sort of took me up and had my first solo show, and it sort of went from there, really. So Australia allowed that to happen for me.
So what kind of work initially you exhibit in Australia? Is like as an introducer.
Right.
Yes.
What I was doing, my parents, my work in Glasgow and in London had always been about sort of wild landscapes and, and weather in particular, rain, with an architectural slant to it. And then when I went to Australia, my parents sent me a photograph of Brighton on the south coast of England. They had a very famous pier in Brighton that collapsed into the sea in 2002. Very, you know, very heavy storm, and the pier had come down, but it was half come down, so it was like this really beautiful collapse in the photograph. And that really sort of struck home to me. I thought that, you know, the photograph was beautiful, and there was lots of childhood memories of the pier. And I liked the idea, so I started to make very linear structures that were in a state of collapse or disrepair. So then, just one piece led to the next, and that was what my first show was about.
Well,
they were quite small. They were tabletop, and the idea was that they were looking like architectural models of structures, like a pier or like, you know, those sort of spindly railroad bridges you would get in America before they were building with steel. They were timber. Very sort of lattice structures. They were quite similar to that, but it was important to me that they were seen as models for big structures, and they were collapse. I would collapse them, you know, make them, have them half broken, and but they were very pristine. They were very tidy, very neatly done to look as if they were brand new. So they were trying to function as architectural models of an already failed structure, but it was a new construction, you know.
Is it made of steel?
No, I was using balsa wood and foam board, you know, the very cheap foam board you get. And I was cutting that down into thin strips and gluing it together, so I was very keen on people getting the message about the model, you know. Try using model making materials like that. Since that first show was called Subside, you know, when things sort of gradually fall away, I then started looking more at German landscape painting, like Caspar David Friedrich. So you're looking at, you know, the solitary broken tree in the landscape, the ruined cathedral, and, you know, shipwrecks, and taking that as my source, and and making them into these sort of structures that looked like architecture.
But you like wound, so you mean not new building, but old, but collapse.
Yes.
So why you like this kind of sculpture or scenes?
Yeah, well, it was really, it sort of came for that initial photograph of the Brighton Pier, thinking about the reasons why the Victorians would build a pier. It was to allow the wealthy people to experience the sea air, which was restorative. But they thought, you know, would cure them if they were ill or something, without actually getting their feet wet. So that notion of a structure, the way you see, you know, the kind of engineering urban infrastructure here in Hong Kong, for example, you know, you're just tunneling through hillsides and building bridges and reclaiming. It was just that that idea of, you know, the man-made trying to control the landscape, and in the end, the weather or something had, and the landscape had taken it back and kind of destroyed it a bit. So it was sort of thinking about that idea, you can't you know, you can't be too confident about how you go about your life, dealing how the modern world just think we can deal, build and tunnel and do whatever we like to the landscape. But it might be a bit.
Now you also, I see your work in the studio. You're doing some more natural landscape, rather than human architecture. How are you going to shift from this kind of artwork?
It's been a very recent shift in my work. But I was working, you know, in that very linear way, making ruined trees and ruined structures for, I don't know how many years, 6 or 7 years, just making them. And in Hong Kong, I've had a show, a solo show in Sydney since being in Hong Kong 2 years ago. And I was focusing on, the way the whole cloud comes over the really tall buildings. Here, I was making work about that, about cloud, and the cloud coming down over buildings.
You mean a fog?
Like a fog, yes, exactly, like fog, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that was the source of my work before, but it was very much about being in Hong Kong. I was making mirror-plated stainless steel structures and then building a clear resin, a clear acrylic rod, cloud on top. But they still looked like architecture. You know, they were both done with a cross bracing motif that I've used. The kind of subject matter has always been about the weather and where I am. And, you know, so I was looking at Hong Kong with the building, with the low cloud and the fog coming down over the mountains and the buildings. And then I just got to notice more and more about the landscape in Hong Kong, the kind of rolling kind of sequence of mountains. I guess I moved flat, so my outlook was different, you know, looking out over Wama and travelling, you know, past Aberdeen every day, so you're looking out over the Wama Channel again. And where my studio is, there's sort of ocean parks quite nearby, but the back window of my studio looks out over a big mountainside, and it just really get into my head, and it's changed my work completely. My work has become about Chinese landscape painting, with the Shanshu school of painting, where you're mountain peaks and cloud, there's still an architectural reference in there, but it's reduced now. For example, the work of that I'm making at the moment are laser cut mild steel pieces that I've welded a few of them together in certain configurations, and then put a grind on them to look like cloud. So I'm using, you know, the flat sheet of the steel with a very kind of mountainous drawn shape, but it's still flat pack. It's trying to suggest prefabrication and flat pack, flat construction. And I've got little wedges underneath them that are made from stainless steel that look like trussing. Little engineered
so the
wedges.
Bases, it would.
The base is steel.
Steel also.
Yeah, so there's the steel plate, and then you've got a stainless steel wedge lifting up the plate so that it sits at an angle, so they don't sit flat on the plinth or the tabletop. They're upended by this engineered little wedge.
So more three dimension.
Yes. And I'm trying to include into the conversation, you know, the engineering I see around me. You know, working in Wong Chuk Hang with the MTR being built there the last few years has been a spectacular sight. You know, sneaking through. That one is in Australia. I made that for, but that was the first one actually of this city series. He works with trying to make a painting on top, with a big kind of quite a brutal structure underneath it that's upending it.
Mm-hmm.
But the MTR coming into Wong Chuk Hang, yeah, it's just been fascinating watching that. Because it snakes, you know, it really kind of snakes around a bit. And it's just, you know, you've got your mountain circling it, you know. And then, you know, you've got all those really quite, you know, quite solemn industrial buildings that around it too, you know. It's a real coming together of a few things that have interested me for a long time.
But this work, do you have any tree or other landscape besides of the mountain?
That was the one I was telling you about with the cloud coming over the building.
Oh, okay.
So there was six of those, and the cloud was the clear acrylic on top there.
Okay.
So you kind of half see it and half don't, and it half covers the structure.
This you exhibit in Australia?
Yes. This was the first show that was trying to fill in landscape formations with the collapse on them.
Okay.
But that's like a tree that I made there in stainless steel, so that's over 2 meters tall.
Yeah.
It was trying to be, you know, broken looking. So there was three trees in that show.
Okay, this is a tree.
Yeah, that's my version of a tree, even though it looks
like... This the pier collapse.
Well, that's come from that, yeah.
Yeah,
that was one of the Hong Kong pieces. That was kind of looking a bit like a cloud, I thought. You know, I was trying to... trying to kind of make the cloud with the steel.
Okay, some of the work can see in some main shopping mall. I mean, I see in your profile you have some work, mission work with some shopping mall.
Right, yes.
We see the work there.
Right, the Hyatt Regency and Chim Cha Choi.
In the lobby.
Yes, the entrances are, but it's ground floor, just opposite the lifts. I've got a wall work on the wall there, quite a big piece. Oh, and I've got a work in Wotel Island South in the restaurant. And one in the foyer too, a timber piece in the foyer. But the Hyatt one I'd say is the most successful work. It's a wall sculpture of three steel structures that are looking at. I tried to shape them like a cloud, and behind them I've got clear acrylic cut out, so it looks as if there's kind of like a bit of rain behind the structure.
Now you are still doing your work about Chinese landscape, so you're going to have an exhibition or you show your work out, or do you have any pen?
I have a solo exhibition in Sydney at Martin Brown Contemporary at the end of this month.
Okay.
It opens on the 29th of April.
Mm-hmm.
And the work just left my studio yesterday to go down for that. And the theme, the title of the show is Scholar Stone's Interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's I've made little scholar rock, scholar stones, made 13 of them.
Scholar Stone.
Yes, and basically the work's about scholar stones and Shan Shu painting.
Okay.
So I've got the steel pieces with the cloud that I've used my grinder to bring back the silver of the steel to be like the cloud part. And then I've got the scholar stones as well.
The scholar stone is real stone or real made?
No.
It's made by steel?
No, they're stainless steel. Laser cut. Shapes in stainless steel, and I've welded them together, so they're quite open structures, and they look very, you know, they're flat. They're not trying to look like stone, but they're trying to recall scholar stones. I've been really interested in that because I spent those years making work that were trying to be models to make you think about the huge structure. You know, the functioning architectural models to allow you to imagine it. Massive. And then, you know, learning and discovering scholar stones in Hong Kong, never heard of them before I'd come here. You know, and they were trying to do exactly the same thing thousands of years ago for the literati to take them back to their studio, like a little stone that reminded them of landscape and allow their mind to wander. Just from a very small object to contemplate the immense through looking at the very small thing. So I've taken the sort of basic elements of the scholar rocks, like you know, the stone
mm-hmm.
as an integral part of the rock. It holds it in place, but it also responds to the rock above.
Mm-hmm.
The bases are individually made for the stones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's certain aspects to the Scrubber Rocks that make them attractive or you know, valuable, I suppose, with
mm-hmm.
things like their openness. So there's quite a few sort of holes and sort of open placement of the shapes.
Mm-hmm.
There's moist surface, so I've grind, put a grind on the surface of the stainless steel, so
mm-hmm.
it looks a bit sparkly,
mm-hmm.
I guess, in a way, for want of a better word. Shiny is probably better. And what else? There's a certain thinness to them and an awkwardness.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the basic thing that this should resemble landscape. So
mm-hmm.
I've sort of taken those things that I've learned about scholar stones and tried to make my versions of scholar stones. But the pieces I've made are not timeless. They're rooted in the now. But my bases are made from stainless steel, sort of open construction. So they're little pieces of scaffolding or engineering with the steel shapes on top that are trying to recall rock and they're pretty small, you know, they're only 20 centimetres high, roughly.
This is interesting. So since this kind of thing is very, natural, and the original thing is very natural, but you make it in stainless steel. So is there kind of contrast between man-made and natural landscape?
Yes.
So actually, is it what your work now and previous one want to express your feeling? About the conflict between man-made sculpture and natural
power. Yeah. That's
or
right.
Whatever.
Yes. Especially, you know, especially when I was making like big steel trees,
mm-hmm.
you know, my version of ruined trees, it was important to me that they looked soft, even though they're all made up of horizontal, vertical and diagonal rods. You know, in a very sort of very linear way. It's quite they looked a bit spiky and a bit hard, but I wanted them to feel quite soft, have a roundedness to them,
mm-hmm.
and a sort of certain gentleness. The way they would sit very lightly on the ground, or
mm-hmm.
look as if they were, you know, could fall over quite soon. There was a certain quietness about them too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the whole thing about trying to. There's almost a contrariness about it, trying to use a very heavy, dirty, noisy,
mm-hmm.
masculine material.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think it's very masculine.
I'm
trying to make a work that makes you think about romantic landscape,
mm-hmm.
and cloud and mist and drizzle and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's quite a nostalgic feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I've sort of taken that same process into the Shansha steel pieces that I've been doing, trying to make them feel quite soft and romantic, even though they're heavy and they're steel. You know, I like the idea of bringing people's association with materials,
mm-hmm.
bringing that forward and trying to subvert it. People will think, oh, you know, that's, you know, it's noisy, it's dusty, it's heavy, it's a bit nasty, it's spiky, it's.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make something that's quite soft.
The contrast.
Yes.
And soft.
Yeah.
Green and dirty.
Yes. Landscape, architecture, you know, that's the dual things, you know, wild spaces with your.
Now you have, how many years you have been in Hong Kong?
Six years. 6 years.
When compared when you practice art in Australia, is there any difference between here and in Australia?
Do you mean
the art circle, or you feel more charged doing art in Hong Kong or in Australia? Is the same.
You see, it's been very different experience for me.
Really?
What's
the difference?
Well, basically, when I came to Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
I was pregnant and I've had two kids here,
mm-hmm.
so I haven't been socialising the way I used to in an art context, the way I used to in Sydney before
mm-hmm.
before I came up here. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I have noticed in Hong Kong is it seems to be quite a close-knit and helpful community. They all
mm-hmm.
people want to help each other out. Galleries seem
mm-hmm.
to be open to working together with other galleries.
You mean in Hong Kong?
In Hong Kong. And in Sydney, I didn't find that at all. It was very competitive there, you know, very territorial. Whereas in Hong Kong, it seems to be quite different. You know, mm-hmm. the galleries seem to club together to do things,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the good of them all, rather than them just trying to look after themselves a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's just how I've seen things from being here. I don't know if that's really how it is, but that's the mm-hmm. impression I've got.
Hong Kong is so small, so you have to help each other
yes.
to survive.
Yeah.
But actually, yeah. some large galleries, maybe they have their own group of artists. So it's more difficult to join them sometimes.
Yeah. But things like, you know, at the South Island
mm-hmm.
Cultural District, you know,
mm-hmm.
the galleries there.
Mm-hmm.
I just find them really, you know, you go to meetings that we have before we have our open days or our open nights, and
mm-hmm.
it's all very they all seem to be friends, you know, mm-hmm. and they've been, you know, they invited me to join, and they've been really helpful to me, even though
mm-hmm.
I'm not actually working with any of them, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm sort of an artist and just a bit standalone at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that would happen in Sydney. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it just seemed very, very welcoming, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So now your studio is in Wan Chuk Hang. So
yes.
nearby is there any art studio?
Yeah, there's a few more
building?
Artists. Not
in
my
building
now.
But I mean, more and more galleries there now in South.
Yeah. They're coming now, definitely. It's great the fact that I can leave my studio and I can go and see really good shows
mm-hmm.
just within, you know, 10-minute walk from my studio,
mm-hmm.
which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
The last time when I'm in the Island South Light, I see it.
Mm-hmm.
First time I go to the studio in Island South actually,
right.
and I see so many very big gallery there.
Mm.
In the past, I always usually the gallery I know just know is in Central.
Yes.
Yes, I don't know. So there's so many good galleries in Ireland South.
Yeah.
So this trend is good.
Yeah. It's the cheaper rents and the bigger spaces. You know, you can get big industrial spaces. So, you know, the galleries can have really impressive gallery spaces now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
But when MTL is done, maybe the rent will go up.
Yes, I know, exactly. I don't know where I'll go then.
Mm-hmm.
I know. But the area has changed.
Yes, compared to other space. So now we have Island South, Central, and in Chai Wan is also many.
Uh-huh.
In the past, many galleries there start to move there.
Yeah.
But I think Island South is much better than Chai Wan, maybe.
Yeah.
More convenience.
Right.
Near Central.
Yes. Well, that's right. That is the factor, isn't it? You know.
Yes.
Just through the Aberdeen Tunnel.
Chai Wan is in the eastern end.
Yeah.
More far away.
Yeah. It's quite. It's a busy spot as well, Chai Wan, isn't it? You know, like it's.
Mm-hmm.
I find it. Find it quite difficult to find my way around there.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I find that generally. I don't have a good sense of direction, but yeah, Taiwan I find quite tricky.
Actually, you can send the link to me about your coming exhibition and then I post.
Okay.
With this interview.
Yeah. Yeah.
In April?
Yeah, end of April.
End of
this
in
month.
Sydney.
In Sydney.
Sydney,
yeah.
So you'll go to opening there?
Yes. My parents have come over from Scotland. To stay for a couple of weeks so that they
mm-hmm.
they'll stay with my girls, my husband and I can go. So that'll be exciting. Get away on our own for a few days.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm very blessed for your recording today.
Okay.
So I think it's almost okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Christine.
Oh, thank you, John.